My dearly beloved in Christ, when we read today's epistle from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, it strikes us that he is speaking about himself, and he is speaking about all of the dangers and perils that he underwent for the spread of the gospel, how many times he was scourged, and how many times he was put in prison, and even stoned, and persecuted, and betrayed by false brethren, and so forth. Now, spiritual writers tell us that it is a counsel of the spiritual life that we should avoid talking about ourselves. Out of humility, we should not be talking about ourselves, normally speaking. And in fact, we don't like to be around someone who is always talking about himself. We think that person is very narcissistic. But why did St. Paul talk about his own trials? Because he wanted to impress upon these early Christians in Corinth, the Corinthians, how much he loved their souls, and therefore how valuable their souls are in the sight of God, and how they must endure trials and sacrifices and the carrying of the cross in order to save their souls. If he underwent such tremendous trials to bring the gospel to them because he loved their souls, then they in turn must carry the cross and renounce the world and live a good Christian life. And our Lord in the gospel talks about the seed is the word of God. We can also look upon the seed of the sower as God's grace. But how does God's grace germinate in the soul? It bears fruit in different measures according to the individual and how much that particular individual corresponds with grace. Notice that the seed that falls upon the wayside where people are always walking is packed down. The soil is so packed down that the seed can't even germinate and bring forth any fruit at all. The seed that falls on the rocky ground cannot find moisture, and it withers away. It begins, it springs up at first, but it withers away. That would be like those who become all enthusiastic, but there's no depth to their spiritual life, and they fall away. They find the truth, they are enthused, but then they fall away because they don't have the depth in the spiritual life, which is essential. And the seed that falls upon the thorny ground grows up, but so do the thorns and the brambles, and they choke it, and it does not bear fruit. And finally, the seed that falls on the good ground bears fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold. Now, the thorns remind us of the world and how we must renounce the spirit of the world. Our Lord himself gave the explanation of this parable, and he says the thorns are like the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. And those who are always going in search of them, their spiritual life is choked. The life of grace is choked in them, and they cannot bring forth fruit. And this is something we always must be on our guard against. The greed and seeking for wealth and material things that is so prominent in the world. You know that about a week or a week and a half ago, there was a big furor over a particular stock that people wanted to buy because it was going up and up in value. They wanted to make money easily, quickly. And there was a lot of controversy about this, and trading was stopped for a while and so forth, and the politics behind it. But it is interesting to note, you can't say that stock, buying stock and then selling it is unethical. You own land, you can sell land as it goes up in value. Nothing wrong with that. Same thing with the stock. But nevertheless, if this were a Catholic country, a Catholic society, you wouldn't have a stock market. Why? Because speculating, people want to make money without producing goods or services, just by making a good guess, a good bet. So this idea of greed, just wanting to acquire material goods or making money preoccupies so many people that they're like the seed that falls among the thorns and the spiritual life gets choked out of them. We recall the words of our Lord, "My kingdom is not of this world." And we should ask ourselves, am I allowing the spirit of the world to permeate, to enter into my soul and distract me from the things of God, pull me away from the spiritual realities? That is certainly always a danger. And so we look at St. Paul, his heroism, his zeal, and his willingness to undergo every sort of suffering to bring the faith. And that reminds us that we ourselves likewise must be willing to endure whatever it takes to save our immortal souls. Our Lord said, "If you will be my disciple, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me." And St. Paul himself also told the early Christians, "Work out your salvation in fear and trembling." It's not just an easy thing. It's not just done as far as saving one soul just because we have the true faith. We must cooperate with God's grace, renounce the world, renounce sin, and live a life of virtue. We want to make sure that the grace of God finds soil in our soul that is like that good ground that produces abundant fruit. But to do that, we have to strip away the world and the concern for the things of this world, and especially not allow a preoccupation, an exaggerated occupation with the things of the world to take up our attention. Yes, we have to provide for ourselves. We have to take care of our physical needs. And for parents, those who depend on them, their children. But we must avoid an excessive concern and a preoccupation for the things of this world. Let us keep our hearts and our thoughts centered in God, in heaven, and in the things of our faith, and be willing, as St. Paul was, to endure whatever it takes to bring about the salvation of our souls for which our Lord laid down his life, that we might be with him one day in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.